Stephen, our pastor, isn't here this morning, but I feel it's only right, because he's not here, that someone should mention the football. It's nothing to do with my accent in any way, or that I'm English. I just think it's really important to know what's going on in the world, and that England might have won yesterday, and our World Cup dreams might still be happening. And do you know what? I'm going to pray just before you all switch off, because I'm talking about England potentially winning the World Cup. Brilliant. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that we're just here to serve you, Lord. I want to thank you that you do not ask us to do it by ourselves. I want to thank you that you do not just do it all by yourself, but you invite us in to serve you. And Lord, as we look at that this morning, may we not be exhausted by it. May we not think, goodness, God's asking us to do something else. But actually, may you just open our hearts to bring joy into this, to think, how can we serve you and glorify you to the best of our ability, so your kingdom will come. So we give this to you now. Will you open up our hearts? May we just hear directly from you. And anything that is getting in the way of that, it's unhelpful, it's distracting, may it be gone in your name. May this be for you and your glory and nothing else. Amen. So I was asked to come and talk this morning about David and his servant heart, and I thought, I'm gonna nail this. He's really good at making cups of tea. He's brilliant at making dinner. He's awesome at serving in this church. He's up the front all the time. He's running around, he's busy. Then I listened to Sam's podcast and realized they weren't asking me to talk about my husband. They were asking me to talk about David's service in the Bible. But I thought, do you know what? It's a really good point to start with. When we talk about service, the first thing we think of is church. The first thing we think of as Christians is people running around and being busy and doing those tasks that need done and getting on with it. Whereas actually this morning, I'd love us to open our minds just a bit further than that. What's it look like to use the word service out with the walls of church? What's it look like for us to not be busying around in service and being the person up front that everyone can see, but serving in the quiet, hidden places? And as we look into the story of David and in the Bible, we see that throughout. And that is what we're going to look at now. Just to recap a little bit, Sam spoke last week on David and obedience. And David is a man after God's own heart. We talked about throwing away the heart of Saul, who was the king at the time. He was not doing a great job, did not have a heart that was for God. And embracing the heart of David, stepping into obedience with God and embracing the heart of David. And just a bit of background before we read our passage today. Sam is King Samuel. Sam, it's like he's my best pal or something. My brother's called Sam, that's the confusion. Samuel has reluctantly made Saul king. It's not something that they wanted to do. They would prefer to have no king at all. That was God's plan. But Saul is king. Saul was not listening to Sam. He didn't listen to God. He was doing his own thing. Unbeknown to Saul, God was talking to Sam and Samuel and said, there will be a new king. Go and find him and anoint him. So Samuel went. He went to Jesse, looked at all his sons and was like, no, none of these guys, although they look perfect, they're not going to be king. There's someone else. And he said, oh, my youngest son, David, he's actually serving. He's in the field. I'll go get him for you. And he was like, this is the man that God one day is calling to be king. This is the one I have called you to anoint. So he anointed David. And then David went back to serving in the fields as a shepherd. Not a big deal. He's just a teenager. He's just been told he's going to be king one day, but it's all right. He'll go back and keep being a shepherd boy with all the sheep and the poo and whatever they do. We've just moved to a farm. I realize it's not for me, guys, all that countryside, but David is getting on with it. And that is what the important thing, that is where we're starting from here. Saul has no idea this conversation has happened. Saul and David haven't even met yet, but Saul is currently king. David's told one day he might be king. He's been anointed by God. And that is where we're reading from. And we're going to read today 1 Samuel 16, 14 to 23. And I'm going to use the Message version. I don't know if any of you know, my background's youth work. I'm also dyslexic. The Message Bible is a gift from God to me to understand it. So I hope it's a gift to you too. At that very moment, the Spirit of God left Saul, and in its place, a black mood sent by God settled on him. He was terrified. Saul's advisor says, this awful, tormenting depression from God is making your life miserable. "O Master, let us help. Let us look for someone who can play the harp. When the black mood from God moves in, he'll play this music, his music, and you'll feel better." Saul told his servants, "Go ahead, find someone who can play well and bring him to me." One of the young men spoke up, "I know someone. I've seen him myself, the son of Jesse of Bethlehem, an excellent musician. He's courageous, of age, well-spoken, good-looking, and God is with him." So Saul sent his messengers to Jesse, requesting, "Send your son David to me, the one who tends the sheep." Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with a couple of loaves of bread, a flask of wine, and a young goat, and sent his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him. Saul liked him immediately and made him his right-hand man. Saul sent word back to Jesse, "Thank you. David will stay here. He's just the one I was looking for. I'm very impressed with him." After that, whenever the bad depression from God tormented Saul, David got out his harp and played. This would calm Saul down and he would feel better as his moodiness lifted. And we're also just going to look at 1 Samuel 17, 34-37. Just a bit of context. This is just before the David and Goliath thing is about to kick off. So David said, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to the Philistine pig who is torturing the troops of God alive. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine." Saul said, "Go, and God help you." So as we can see, and we look the whole life of David over the next few weeks, David is a servant of God. The first thing we notice is he's told he is going to be king. Yet there's actually a bit of a gap before he is king. What I've just spoke about, he's not king yet. What Sam spoke about last week, David isn't king yet. Actually, he's told as a teenager he's king, yet he's not king till he's in his 30s. Yet he still serves God, and he does that with great patience. He doesn't think, "My time's coming, quick, best serve so God can make me king." He does it with patience and in the quiet place. He also shows great humility. He doesn't think, "I'm going to be king, so I'm not going to go look after my sheep. So I'm just going to sit, get ready, get all the gear." No, he goes back to be a shepherd. And then he's finally called to the palace. He might be thinking, "This is his time. I'm getting called up. The throne is waiting for me." No, he's getting called to ask to be a servant. He's getting asked to be a human iPod or iPlayer. "Come and play whenever I ask you to." You think it sounds a little bit glam because it's a harp, and you're like, "Man, I'd love to play the harp. It's pretty fancy." And he's gifted in it. But actually, yeah, let's put it in perspective. He was a servant of a king who's being demanded to play for him whenever he didn't feel right. Actually, he was totally humble. He's like, "Great, I'll do that." You don't see that he's complaining. You don't see that he's being actually a classic teenage boy. And I do youth work. I love teenagers, but man, they moan. He's not doing that. He just gets on with humility and serves in the lowly place. In chapter 17, which we just read a little bit at the end, it said, "The Lord," it's another version, "The Lord rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He rescued me, and he will rescue me from the hands of the Philistine." David had great courage. He knew that God had his back. He was serving, knowing that his God was with him, that gave him the courage to go and serve with a king. He knew God was for him. He served with God and for God. And from the outset of this passage, we see those three qualities: patience, humility, and courage. And they are really important things to take on when we are serving. Actually, being patient and serving, it's not always easy. I like to get things done. I am a practical person. I love those people who are great and sit in the Holy Spirit of God. I want to do that more, but I'm a yes, get on and yes, do this. Actually, sometimes I just need to have patience. It's not about doing a to-do list with service. It's not about getting a job done. It's about serving with patience. Actually, humility, the world around us is all about who is the best. It's natural. Who can do something the best? Who's going to be the best? Who's going to serve the best way? Actually, I'll do this because I can do it better than them. Serving is not about who's the best at something. Actually, it's about character and heart and who can serve with the heart of God. Humbly, it's probably going to do it better than someone who thinks they're the best at doing it. Actually, he had great humility. And courage. What does it look like to serve with courage? What does it look like to serve knowing that God has your back 100%? You might be serving in an area where you think, you know what, I'm not fully confident in this. I've not got it. But have courage, because if God has called you to serve there, God is the one who is serving with you and for you. And that are just some qualities I saw that I just think are really, really important with service. But looking at the bigger picture, we've seen that Saul the king isn't doing great. It was mentioned last week that he wasn't listening to God. He wasn't listening to Samuel. He decided he was going to do things his own way. Yeah, actually, David was the opposite. He decided he was going to do it with God. And he was going to do it in those quiet places, in the hidden places. Looking at Saul, he took things into his own hands. He isn't serving with a heart of God. He isn't serving in the quiet places. He is serving, putting his weight around. Whereas actually David is serving in the hidden places. He's serving in places where he might not be seen. He's serving in the field with sheep. He is serving the king as a servant, the king Saul. He is serving in the hidden quiet places, following God where he is asking to be served. And he's also applying the gifts that God has given him while he does that. So he's great at playing the harp. So he's using those gifts and serving God with them. He's doing that with patience, humility, and courage. But he's doing that in the hidden places. And what's important about this is all this stuff is leading to leadership for David. Actually, him serving in the hidden places, him getting on and doing that quietly, is where foundations of biblical leadership are coming into play. Building the foundations of someone who is going to be great, a great servant of the king, but first he is learning to serve in the hidden places. I do a big youth event, it's called PowerPoint. It's in Scotland, it has thousands of young people coming to it every few months, and it is great to be a part of that team. And one year we were working out who's going to be the next host, who's going to be the person up front leading 1,000 young people, good luck to them, but who is going to do that? And it was so natural of us to pick this guy who, he's a great leader, but he's also had great words over his life that he's going to be a great leader one day. Bit like David, his dad was a leader. His dad passed away, but his dad was leading a huge church at the time of doing that. And it was very much like the anointing your father had is going to be on you. You are going to go out and lead one day. You're going to be brilliant at it. He's very gifted. So it seems so natural that we'd ask him to be host, whereas we didn't. We asked him to join team and to serve. And he tidied away chairs and he picked up rubbish from the floor and he cleaned toilets. And he did that for months. And isn't that awesome? Because that is serving in the hidden places. But God was birthing leadership in him just as he was David. What does it look like for us to serve in the hidden places? What is God going to birth in us in leadership for that? For some of us, not all of us, we're not serving with a mentality of one day we will be in leadership. That's how it happened for David. That's how God laid down foundations for him. But what does also it look like with us to serve with a mentality of actually God leading us, God being in our heart, God the reason that we are serving? I am passionate. I've mentioned 100 times already in this talk, sorry, about youth and young people. It's my job. It's what God's ingrained into me. It's a privilege and a blessing. I want young people to know Jesus. I want them to be leaders. More than anything, what I love is when a 12-year-old girl says, I'm going to lead one day. And I'm like, great, because how many years ago that wouldn't have even been a thing because you're a woman? Like, isn't that amazing that I'm in a position where we get to do that? But first and foremost, I want young people to lead, but I want them to serve. That's what I want them to start with. I'm more passionate about them running up to me, not saying I'm going to be a leader, but I want to serve God. And I want to do that humbly, and I want to do it in the quiet places, and I want to do it not necessarily up front where I'll get all the glory, but I want God to get all the glory. Actually, that's what David was like, and that's what I want us to serve like. Know that we are serving first and foremost, that is the most important thing. In leadership, it's great that you're a leader, but my goodness, if you're not just as much a servant, then something's very wrong. You need to be just as much as a servant as you are a leader, and that's what it was for David, and that's what we can learn from that. But the brilliant thing is, God is not asking us to do it alone. He wants us to do it with him. He doesn't want us to do it like Saul, independently, but rather serve like David. David was a man after God's own heart. It's mentioned throughout the whole Bible. He was serving with faith. He was serving with anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's exactly where we should be serving from. We need to posture ourselves, face God, and that's what we should be serving from. Serving, posturing our Father God. And it's a funny concept, we talk about posture and a posture to God because we can't see him, but it came from my nephew, it sounds around him, he's 5. He has the best posture in the world, and no one has taught him that. He sits cross-legs on the carpet against all my nieces and nephews, with like, there's 16 of them, there's a lot. And he's just bang, upright, straight. Because of that posture, one day he will be free, he won't have muscle pain, he'll sit up perfectly, he'll walk around, he'll be free to have fun and whatever. But actually, if you don't have a great posture, sometimes you're in a bit of pain. Sometimes you haven't got the same freedom of movement. That's how we want to serve. We want to be able to serve with our posture facing God so we have a freedom to serve him to the best of our ability because we're serving from him within us. If we serve without a posture towards God, we'll be in pain because do you know what? We'll be struggling. Serving will be exhausting. We will get no joy from it. We'll be striving to get it done. We'll be looking at other people thinking, I'm serving 20 times better than them because we're not facing God because we haven't got a posture towards God. David had a posture towards God in service, and that is how we want to serve. So all that is to say is David was patient, humbly, courageously served in the hidden places. This led for him to biblical leadership, of which he did by posturing himself towards God and serving with and for God. So just what I want to ask you today is, where is God calling you and asking you to serve in the hidden places? It might be what you're already doing, but he wants to change your heart a little bit in that. He might be calling you to serve somewhere totally different, but where is God calling you to serve in the hidden places? And also, how are you posturing yourself towards God? I know someone who actually does this physically, I love it. There's this guy, he's an incredible speaker. For me, I look up to him a lot and think, you've nailed it, how do I speak like you? And I've watched him a lot because I think he's great. And what I've noticed before he preaches, he's always at the side or at the back of the room on his hands and knees, with his eyes closed, with his arms open, kneeling to God, without fail. This is before a 5-minute talk, this is before an hour's talk, whatever. He's always doing that. And I asked him once, what are you doing, Bob? That's his name, genuinely. And he said, I'm posturing myself towards God. I am kneeling before him and saying, I am your servant. I want to serve with an identity of I am your child. I am physically posturing myself towards God so that when I speak, I know that I'm just doing it for him and I'm serving out of that. And I love that. I've adopted that. I kneel on toilet floors a lot, which is not very cleanly. But generally, actually, there's something in it for me of physically posturing yourself. And it's just to challenge you, not to say you all need to get down and kneel right now, although I would have loved to make you do that. Actually, how are you going to emotionally, spiritually, even somewhat physically posture yourself towards God? And we're going to take some time in worship now, in prayer and communion. But during that time, I'd love you to just ask the question, where is God asking me to serve in the hidden places? But also, God, how do you want me to set my face towards you, to posture myself as I come to serve you? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're calling us to serve you in the hidden places. And I want to praise you that so many people here are already doing that. And I thank you for that. But Lord, I just pray that we want more. I pray that we don't settle there. I pray that we're permanently posturing ourselves towards you, that we are looking at you more and more and saying, what do you want me to do for you? And Lord, if we're doing it out of that heart looking at God, Lord, I thank you that you will give us all the Holy Spirit energy in the world to do that, that you'll give us the joy as we're doing that. That in the hidden places, because you are with us and for us, that we are serving with and for you. And may we do that all for you and your glory, so your kingdom will come. Amen.